We know back in 2018, the entire globe was on the brink of revolution. One being the very notorious Yellow Vest movement in France. Welcome everybody to the Storm Is Here podcast. Now, it wasn't only France back in 2018 that was in revolt. We've seen a lot of countries in Central America and also South America. In Africa and also Middle East and pretty much everywhere in the world. There were even signs of revolution here in North America, in Canada, and also in America. Now, of course, with all these revolts happening everywhere, there was always one common theme amongst all these revolutions, and that was greed. Of course, with the Yellow Vest, there was the gas tax, which pretty much put people over the edge because they were already suffering as it is, and the gas tax was pretty much the final straw. Now, of course, with all this revolution happening, this really terrified the oligarchs, and they pretty much were, you know, kind of wondering what they had to do to try to stop this mass movement and mobilization of people around the world. Well, then, of course, after 2019, the news of the coronavirus was starting to emerge, and then, of course, it went full-blown in 2020. And then, of course, the rest is history. The government, or governments all around the world, called for lockdowns. And, of course, we've seen countries like China and Italy who were in extreme lockdowns, and to the point where it was starting to weigh on the Chinese people and especially the Italian people. So, of course, with everybody in lockdown, well, now you don't see anybody on the streets protesting anymore because now everybody is scared that they're going to contract or get the coronavirus. Now, of course, fast forward to today, and there have been revolutionary acts happening in my own country with the convoy, of course, in France, Netherlands, New Zealand, Australia. The list goes on and on. And again, these are results of the COVID-19 lockdowns, the extreme poverty that happened out of these lockdowns, the jobs that were lost, the domestic abuses that were on the rise, the suicides, the drug addiction, the alcoholism, and the list goes on and on and on. And of course, we were starting to find things out about this whole pandemic. Things weren't really adding up. Of course, they were telling us how deadly and dangerous this was, and how they kept shoving the numbers of infected people on a daily basis as to keep people on their toes, and to kind of push this fear propaganda to kind of try to keep people in their own little boxes. And for a while it did work, and then eventually more cracks started to surface, flattening the curve, and how masks were supposed to help you prevent, and how vaccines were going to stop and eliminate this. And of course, one line after another. And it got to the point where people pretty much had enough. And like in France, when they had the gas tax, which pretty much ignited the Yellow Vest revolution, the vaccine mandates did the same thing here, not only in Canada, but throughout the entire planet. Now, there has been this this movement of lawyers and ex-judges who are setting up parallel court systems to take their governments to court, and not only take them to court, but to even prosecute them and imprison them. Now, some are calling this Nuremberg 2.0, not because of what the coronavirus did to the people, because it didn't really do anything, but the measures that were put into place and the damage they had caused on so many levels. And in fact, I was reading a news article about how most people are still going to live in fear after this pandemic is over with. So basically, the damage has been done. And now people who were involved in pushing the vaccines and who participated in the fear-mongering propaganda must have to pay a price for this. All right, so let me read this first news article. This is basically an introduction to one of the lawyers that is involved in this movement of lawyers and judges to basically take the people that are involved in these draconian measures to court and to have them prosecuted, okay? Here's the first attorney. His name is Dr. Reiner Fulmick. He's an international trial lawyer who has successfully sued large fraudulent corporations like Volkswagen and Deutsche Bank. Of course, Deutsche Bank is a place where he used to work. His worldwide network of lawyers has listed to 100 experts from every field of science. They have collected undeniable evidence that the COVID pandemic is in fact a planned criminal operation. According to Dr. Filmick, a second Nuremberg trial may be needed to prosecute all who are complicit in this unprecedented crime against humanity. We'll continue on with Dr. Fulmick and his committee. Now, this is from the Era of Light, a news publication. And the headline is International Criminal Grand Jury Investigation. Psychopathic globalist used COVID to commit crimes against humanity. So now, let me go back to the protests happening in 2018 and 2019. And again, this global revolution, or on the brink of course, was really terrifying the elites. And what better way to quell it and to push other agendas than to have a pretext like COVID-19? Let me continue on here. An international coalition of lawyers and judges also, like I mentioned, convened a hearing to prosecute the crimes against humanity perpetrated by governments who use the COVID-19 pandemic as the pretext. The group is called the People's Court of Public Opinion. So if you get a chance, please research them and see what they're doing. This is quite extraordinary and something that needs to be done. So the Court of Public Opinion gathered in Germany on Saturday to detail the many human rights violations inflicted by politicians around the world during COVID pandemic under the directive of the World Economic Forum. And of course, a lot of people know what the World Economic Forum is. It's a committee for the rich and the elites. They meet once a year in Davos, and the Klaus Schwab gentleman, who is the head of the World Economic Forum. And again, please research this guy and see some of his ideas that he wants to try to implement. You know, of course, you will own nothing and you'll be happy about it, is one of his statements. It's quite frightening, to be quite honest with you. All right, so not only is the People's Court of Public Opinion taking the governments or people that are involved with this pandemic to court, there's also a local guy here in Ontario, and he runs a website by the name of A Warrior Calls. Now, he did have a presence on YouTube. I'm not sure what happened, but rest assured he is on Rumble. So if you get a chance, please look for this gentleman by the name of Christopher James. He is doing some phenomenal work. He is a lawyer, and he does things for free. And he's basically, his main objective is to take every single one of them, all the federal politicians, the government, the provincial politicians. He wants to take them to court, and he wants to not only not sue them, he wants to prosecute them and put them in jail. But the thing is that he needs, according to him, he needs about 1,000 police officers to escort him to the courthouse here in Ontario so that he can basically ask him 3 questions. Now, again, I'm not sure what the 3 questions are. But I did see an interview of Christopher James at the convoy, and they were asking him, and he did mention these three questions that he was going to ask the judge. And again, please, if you can, check this guy out. He's been doing this for a very long time, and now with all this stuff happening, it is no better time to be pushing this type of stuff than now. Okay, so that's another one. That's another person with, and again, he does have, I think, 200 to 300 police officers on his side and ready to go, but they still have to wait for another 700 or so in order for him to proceed. Okay, so this is out of the United States under Natural News, which is a website, pretty well-known website. And the headline reads, criminal complaint filed in Texas accuses COVID-19 vaccine makers and pushers of murder and crimes against humanity. A massive criminal complaint filed last week with Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton's office accuses the makers of COVID-19 vaccines, as well as all corporate and government officials involved in pushing and distributing them, with murder and crimes against humanity. The complaint, which was filed by Harris County resident Jack E. Boatler, represents an all interested parties and subscribed citizens and residents of the United States of America who received any emergency use authorization investigational injection of genetic biological material, also known as mRNA, coding for the Wuhan spike protein known to be the pathologic structure of SARS-CoV-2, designed to provoke the human body to produce antibodies for COVID-19, commonly referred to as the COVID-19 vaccines. Now, here is some of the people that are named, some of the institutions and names that are in this complaint. Of course, one being Dr. Anthony Fauci. There's also George Soros. There's Dr. Deborah Birx. She was the White House coronavirus response coordinator under President Trump. There is General Tedros Adhanom of the World Health Organization, Dr. Francis Collins, former director of the National Institutes of Health, CNN founder and billionaire media mogul Ted Turner. So of course, news media is definitely a key tool in order to push out a narrative. Bill Gates, billionaire, Microsoft founder, and the directors and principals of the Food and Drug Administration, the Department of Health, the Human Services, the NIH, and IAID, and several other U.S. government agencies. And of course, there's Big Pharma that's included in this complaint. So again, yet another example of people who've had enough, and they're starting to recognize what this whole pandemic was about. It was just a big scheme in order for rich people or elitists to gain more control over you. And of course, i.e. the vax passports, digital ID, QR codes, all these things are tools for more of your control. Okay, so again, there is a war for your mind and your body. Okay, and these lawsuits are a step towards incriminating and prosecuting these people, because they need to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Here's another one out of Canada. This is out of the Toronto Sun. And the headline reads, active retired police officers taking Ontario's COVID-19 measures to court. Now, I am on Telegram, and I'm part of some of these groups and also TikTok, and I'm seeing a lot of these videos of ex-military, ex-police officers who are speaking out against the atrocities that are being committed against the truckers or the protesters at the convoys. It's totally unconstitutional. And of course, these people, these protesters and truckers, have not committed any crimes. They're there peacefully. They're there having a good time. They're there showing love and light. And yet, the reason why they're getting prosecuted is because what they are doing is right. And more cops and ex-military and even current military who are basically resigning are speaking out and taking it to another step and filing a lawsuit against the government. So that is the headline. Let me read what this is all about. 10 active and 5 former police officers are taking the province to court over Ontario's COVID-19 response. The notice of application filed last week in Ontario Supreme Court names Premier Doug Ford, the Ontario's General of Ontario and Canada, and Chiefs of Toronto, York, Niagara, Ottawa, Hamilton Police Services as respondents. It challenges the province's COVID-19 measures as unconstitutional and also argues that forcing police to enforce the rules is a violation of the oath undertaken by Ontario's sworn officers. So, okay, even though a cop does not want to enforce it, but he still does. He is not protected because he willingly broke his oath and broke the Constitution. So therefore, doing your job again is not an excuse to get your way out of a prosecution. And again, like I mentioned, the first lawsuit, the Court of Public Opinion, this is basically Nuremberg 2.0. Now let me continue on here. Many Ontario police officers said lawyer Rocco Galati, and I'm going to read about him in the next article, a constitutional rights senator and representative of the 15 officers, don't receive enforcement guidance from legislation. Now, this is a quotation from Rocco Galati. They're taking their cue from the moron politicians and supervisors who haven't taken the time to read the law and realize this is not easy to enforce unless you want to make your own law on the spot, he said. So, again, judges, they're all corrupt, okay? Politicians are all corrupt. They all follow their donors, they all follow their masters, and they would never ever speak out against them or go against them, okay? And again, this is forcing these judges to do unconstitutional things, criminal things for that matter, and they will see their day in court. All right, next article. This is out of Vaccine Choice Canada. It's a committee that obviously are against the vaccine and the vaccine mandates. Headline is press release, legal challenge to COVID-19 measures filed in Ontario Supreme Court. Due to the egregious and persistent violations of Canadians' constitutional rights by federal, provincial, and municipal governments in the response to COVID-19, Vaccine Choice Canada, along with 7 other co-plaintiffs, have taken legal action against the Government of Canada. The Government of Ontario, the Municipality of Metropolitan Toronto, various public health officials, and the Canadian Broadcast Corporation. So we're seeing CNN, we're seeing CBC. Again, the weapons, the tools that push out the narratives. So because they're pushing out the narratives, they're fear-mongering, they too must be punished to the full extent of the law. Let me continue on here. A statement of claim was filed in Ontario Supreme Court on July 6, 2020. Given the failure of the mainstream media to report on what is arguably the most important event in Canada today, it is necessary to deliver this announcement to you personally. For the last many months, an exaggerated and dishonest pandemic narrative has been used to incite unnecessary panic and to justify the systematic violation of the rights and freedoms that form the basis of our society. These include the rule of law, our constitutional rights, national sovereignty, the right to privacy, financial security, and even our democracy. During times of emergency, constitutional rights do not cease to exist. In fact, they become even more important, and this is very true. Moreover, countless international Recognized medical and scientific experts agree that the threat from this year's coronavirus has been vastly exaggerated and does not justify the measures that have been imposed in many countries, including Canada. Millions of citizens have been indiscriminately restricted to their homes. Parliament and the courts have been effectively shut down. And of course, if the judicial system is needed in order to hand out justice. And in this case, they pretty much shut it down. Local businesses and economies and livelihoods have been destroyed. People with serious non-COVID health conditions have been denied medical screening and treatment. Social and cultural life has been effectively eliminated by physical distancing requirements. Residents of long-term care homes live in virtual solitary confinement, which is absolutely despicable and disgusting. Children are no longer being appropriately educated and socialized. With the closing of places of worship, Canadians have lost the right to practice their religion and participate in the faith communities. In many municipalities, non-medical masking is being imposed without scientific or medical evidence. The scientific facts about COVID-19 and the opinions of experts who disagree with the official narrative and indiscriminately imposed measures are systematically censored by the mainstream media, including the Canadian Broadcast Corporation. So, for instance, if I post a video on YouTube or Facebook or any of these social media sites that are pretty much mainstream now, well, you get censored or you get banned or you get kicked out. And again, there's many Facebook accounts that were pretty much purged during that whole purging period back in 2020, I believe. So again, free speech is not free anymore, okay? And this is total attacks on our freedom. And again, that if you speak out against the pandemic, or if you speak out against the virus, you get punished. So again, tell me how we live in a democratic society. Let me finish off the article by saying Canada's governments have failed to present robust and verifiable scientific evidence, just like they did in Sweden, to legitimize the ongoing emergency measures, nor offered medical and economic cost-benefit analysis of the impact of such measures. It has long been obvious that the health, social, and economic consequences of the COVID-19 measures are dire and adversely affect the well-being of the citizens of Canada. Yet our governments and health agencies have been oblivious to the mounting damage and deaf to the pleas of citizens, civil society organizations, and medical and research experts. Under these circumstances, the only recourse is legal action. Okay, I agree. This is definitely a step. I agree with the court of public opinion. I agree with what they're doing by setting up a parallel court system because they have absolutely zero faith in the current or traditional court system. I also do believe in Christopher James, how he's trying to get the support of the police officer so he can actually walk it, because this guy knows his stuff. He knows what he's talking about. So I agree with this. Now, these last three that I read, the one in Texas and the other two in Canada, using our current court system is not, again, it's not going to work. And, I mentioned Rocco Galati, who is also involved in this lawsuit here, and many others. He was in a high-profile case back in 2008, I think, or 2011. I can't remember which year it was. But he was hired by a bunch of people from the Economic Monetary Forum, or Economic Monetary Policy, I can't remember the name of it, and they hired Rocco to basically take the Bank of Canada to court to have the Bank of Canada go back to pre-74, when the Bank of Canada was the sole issuer of currency. And of course, after 74, Pierre Elliott Trudeau sold us out to the IMF, and the IMF pretty much took over the Bank of Canada. Now, fast forward from 2011 to 2015, it went through many courts, and eventually they lost. So Rocco Galati, who fought a good fight, lost, and that just goes to show you that that the court system is not really in your favor. So when I say in your favor, I mean the people. Okay, they are in favor of the corporations and the elitist. Okay, that's who they, the courts are there for, and that's who they protect. So again, guys, we are living in some serious dire times. Okay, and action is needed. Now these courts would work, but you need quite a bit of people to get out in the streets and support them. For instance, Christopher James has suggested, yes, let's go down to the courthouse. Escorted by 1,000 police officers, he walks into the court system, and he pretty much asks 3 simple questions, and then at that point, it's pretty much game over. Again, these convoys, they are having a huge impact, because now the government of Canada and Justin Trudeau, our fearless leader, has invoked the Emergency Act. And again, this is just basically a response to oligarchs putting pressure on him to get rid of these protesters. But these protesters, they're tough son of a bitches, and they're not going to go anywhere soon. In fact, from what I understand, they're sending reinforcements to Ottawa, which, by the way, they have the police, the RCMP, the OPP, the Ottawa police have blocked major arteries going into the downtown Ottawa area. And again, this just proves that we do need a Nuremberg trial 2.0, because they are, when I say they, the oligarchs are terrified that people have had enough and they're not taking it anymore. And again, look, I'm not doing this for my own benefit. I'm doing this for the future generations to come. They deserve to live in a better world that we're living in now. If we continue on the same path, we will pretty much be owned lock, stock, and barrel by the government. They will track our every single movement. They will know what we've eaten, how much we've spent, and if we step out of line, then they will punish us on many levels. All right. Guys, I want to thank you for listening to the show. I hope that you liked it. Please share it. Again, we're on 3 platforms. Our podcast platform on Anchor FM under Storm is Here. We're on YouTube and Rumble under the same name, Storm is Here. Please share the video. Subscribe to our channel. Again, guys, get on the streets. Support your local convoys. And never stop fighting. Peace.